lot of us come from places, you know, where we had parents who spoke to us in a certain way, that those voices are still influencing us. And it's one of the things I talk about in my book, Dream Yourself Awake, because I'm talking about coming into consciousness, coming into what I call self-realization, where we know who we are, and we are in tune with our purpose, and we're on track, and we're not always thrown off to the side every time something happens. You know, our emotions are not who we are, and our thoughts aren't really who we are. Soul, that part of you inside that we were just experiencing, is really who we are. Let's do a little experiment with that. If you go back and just look at that screen, this blank screen here, I want you to, with me, go to a beach. It's a beautiful white sandy beach with blue turquoisey water, and you can hear the seagulls screeching and crying. And up ahead is a man with a little white poodle dog. And he has an orange ball, and he's throwing the ball, and the dog is running wildly to get it, very happy and excited, wagging its tail, coming back. Now, the part of you that's looking on the screen of your consciousness is soul. Now, I'd like you to add the numbers 338 to 432. Now come back. Did you notice that as soon as I asked you to add up those numbers, it was a different part of you that had to get into the process of adding up the numbers? That's the mind. The mind has to engage itself in order to do formulas and things of that nature. But soul gets things immediately. It gets what we call knowing. Have you had an experience where you knew something in advance, that you just knew in the moment exactly what to do? You knew what not to do? That comes from your true self, soul, and it will bring things to you. I remember one of the most humorous experiences I had that was sort of proving to me to trust my inner voice was when I went to mail a letter one day, and the letter, I had to go to the corner store. I got out of my car to go to the store, and I noticed a woman sitting there in her car trying to start it. It was a cold, probably November day. I saw the white smoke billowing out of her car, and then she'd stop it, and then it would, you know, she just kept trying. Well, I got, go and help her start her car. And I thought, how can I help her start her car? I'm a woman. I can't help her start her car. So I ran into the post office, mailed my letter, came back, slunk into my car, and sort of sat there. And this voice very loudly was saying, go and help her start her car. So I said, okay, well, you better help me because I don't know what the heck I'm doing here. I'm going to go over there. So I went over and I said, why don't you open your trunk? And I'm looking in there. I don't know what anything is. And so I said, okay, well, I'll go in and maybe I'll just try to start it. So I went in, turned the key, turned it again, and I realized, I said, I noticed that there was the faintest sound of a humming. And I said to her, is this your car? And she said, no, it's not. It's my boyfriend's. And through further questioning, I found out he was a mechanic, and he had so finely tuned the car that it was actually on. It was, the motor was running, but it was so finely tuned, you couldn't hear it. So she kept trying to start it. It was already started. And all I had to do was tell her it was on. You know, that's how it works. And that's how we get our wake-up calls. So am I a mechanic? No, but we're never asked to do things that are beyond our scope. It may seem like we are, and I'm not saying that everything I've ever, you know, not every intuitive nudge I've had has been easy to follow. I've been told to leave jobs that I thought were the best job in the world. I had a job at a video company. It was supposed to be the job. And I was told to leave very vividly in a dream that I must leave this job. So I went in. It was a Friday. And just coincidentally that day, they contracted 5 videos, which is huge for a video company. We'd been trying to land contracts. That day, we landed 5, of course. But I still went in and I said, you know, I have to leave. I've got to go. And my boss said, well, is this really practical? You know, should you really leave? You know? And I said, well, I really got to. And he talked me into staying. But that night, in a dream, I was driving down the highway. And all of a sudden, my car went into the oncoming traffic. And in the dream, I was just about to slam into this car. And I woke up sweating. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. And I got on the phone, and I phoned him, and I said, I'm quitting. Because what I realized is that I was compromising with the messages that were coming through. That's how seriously I took the messages that came through to me over the years. And now, I don't, you know, knock on wood, I don't typically get asked to do things that are so outrageous, because I usually try to stay on top of it all of the time. I usually try to stay on top of my life all of the time, rather than waiting for things to be falling apart before I have to listen to a message. You know, some of us get our messages in our gut. You know, we have to listen to them, and if we don't, we really are not comfortable. But some of us, they're very subtle, and, you know, we have to learn to listen to them in the way that they're coming through to us. We were talking before about the mind and the way the mind likes to work here, and we need our mind. The mind is a tool here, and without it, of course, there's a lot of things we couldn't do. And soul's vibration, it needs to have shields around it here in this world. And one of the shields, of course, is the ego. And one of the things that I talk about in my book is how I was trying to transcend this ego consciousness in the mind and get to a state of what I was talking about before, self-realization. And the way that it works is that spirit comes down through the higher worlds, and as it comes down, it splits into two. And so we take on bodies, male and female, and we have experiences, and we have a mind, of course, that also works with duality. And duality is the light and the dark and the good and the bad and all of those things that are here that we have to grapple with. So in order to come into union with spirit within ourselves, we have to bring those two things together, the male and the female and the good and the bad and all of that. And in a way, it's a neutrality that we're looking for. But usually we don't have the patience for that kind of thing, because we want to be pushing. We want answers now. We want to, you know, let me get back to God now. So once you get in that journey where you really want to find your way back to God and to who you are, you know, it's like, how long is this going to take? Well, a lot of us have already been here for so many lifetimes. You know, soul has no age. It doesn't really matter to soul. It's just learning its lessons. So I struggle with that. And part of the struggle was in trying to manifest the goals here in my life. And I kept having experiences where I was being shown that by forcing things, by, you know, putting my plan on top of God's plan, I was actually doing magic, black magic. And it's a very subtle thing, but really it's thy will be done. You can make all the plans you want. You can, you know, take out stocks. You can do whatever you want to do. But ultimately, your plan has to be given over. And the surrendering is a very, very tricky part of the whole process. So I went through a number of things in my own consciousness to learn to just work as soul and to trust and work one-on-one with that consciousness every day. And that's really, I think, ultimately what the dreams led me to. And today, if I'm on track, I will have dreams that show me I'm on track. And one of the ways that I get shown is through Oprah will come. And we'll talk about things, and we'll look and we'll weigh how things have been going. And if I've done something especially empowering, you know, she'll most certainly come. And we'll talk about it. And I found that it's really a part of me. She's really just a mirror of my own consciousness. And we all have people in our life that help to light the light or to teach us or turn on, you know, that part of ourself that is here to shine most brightly. And sometimes it comes in a very strange way that our light is turned on. When I was in school back in the sixth grade, I had skipped a grade, and I write about this in my book, I had a teacher who had a very strange philosophy on teaching, and what he would do is take the children and separate them into two groups. One of the groups would go outside to do pick up garbage, and the other group would stay inside to do art. They were the chosen few. And I, of course, was one of the group that didn't get to take part in a lot of those activities. And I was too young to really, you know, have a voice, so to speak, to say, hey, this is wrong. This is really wrong. So during the course of that year, they were putting on a play, and I was left out of the loop. For some reason, out of all of the children in the class, I was not invited to be in the play. But little did I know, this was really a spiritual test for me. And this was a very tall man. I'm still short, but I was even shorter back then. And one day I decided I was going to go to him and I was going to ask him if I could be in that play. So I, you know, and that was a lot for me. I was very, very shy. And I looked up at him and I said, can I be in the play? And he said, yeah, you can if you can scream. He gave me like an instant audition, and it was that I had to scream on the spot for him. Well, there's just no way. I just could not. Even today, I have a hard time. If you were to say to me, you know, you can be in this movie and get $10 million and you can scream, there's just no way I could do it. But that was the audition, and I looked up at him, and I went, and nothing came out. So I never got to be in that play, but it's years later that I realized that that was sort of a bit of a spiritual audition, too. It was part of my spiritual agreement to be with that teacher, because I could have changed the course of my life if I had have spoken up. It was about 2 years later I had a similar teacher, and I did, in fact, speak up. I remember that day, and he had torn up our English papers just because one student complained we didn't have enough time to prepare. He had torn up our exams, and I said, wait a second, that is not right. And I just spoke out. Something came out of me that I'd never heard before. And all of the kids in the class got up and they gave me a standing ovation. And it was like, that to me was Spirit saying, you're on track. You're doing the thing that you're meant to do. And so this is how it works through us. It works through events in our lives. Even as we're children, you might look at the book you were most interested in reading, or perhaps the show that you liked the most that inspired you when you were a young child. And you might see a part of yourself in the life that you're living today, because there is no coincidence as to what we're attracted to. Now, one of the things in our dreams that happens is that we're also shown what we're doing in our consciousness, how closely we're living in alignment with Spirit. And the mind just loves to take control. And, for instance, have you ever watched your thoughts during a day to see what you're thinking? Have you ever sort of taken a day and set it aside and watched the way that you're thinking about life? Most of us do not have control of what we're thinking. We're thinking about everything that comes in. We're just letting it all come in, and we're processing, and what about that? No, I didn't pay that bill, and what about Bob? And, you know, I have to make that call. I forgot that. And it's just an endless thing like that all day long. But if you were to take control of your thoughts and actually direct them towards a particular dream that you had, then you would start to wake up. You would start to have things manifesting for you, because without that direction, that clear direction, you will not manifest anything. It's just not going to happen. There's a friend of mine named Dean. He's actually a very successful health food marketing person. And in one dream, I was going up a hill in a car, and he was driving, we were trying to get up the hill, and we couldn't get up the hill. It was a very, very steep incline. And he pulled something from under the dashboard. It was a little white chip. And he said, this has to do with compression. And so I woke up from that, and I actually saw him later that week, and I said, what do you think that was trying to say to me? And he said, well, that has to do with focus. Now, there's a reason he was successful. He's very focused about his goals and about where he's going. And so because he's so focused, he attracts to him a huge success. So it was telling me that I needed to really get focused and pare down things that were not important to me, that didn't have anything to do with where I was going spiritually or in this life. How many of you are really clear about your values. You know the number one value, the thing that really is the most important to you today. Yeah? Can you give me some examples of what it is that you know, when you go out to make a decision about a job or, you know, things that you're going to do, what is the number one thing that's really important to you? Yourself. I'm sorry? Yourself. Is that what you're saying? Yeah? Anybody else? Yeah. Can interest the
trust.
Trust
is very important.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah.
It's God related. Like, is this
anything that is important to you? Yeah.
I'm saying the criteria is God related. So, does this get me closer to God? Is this according to my plan? I mean, that plan. How will this get me closer to returning? And if it doesn't meet that criteria, it doesn't get to stay.
Okay, so that's what she's saying. Does it get me closer to God? Does it meet the criteria of my own spiritual progress, so to speak? And I can't think of really a higher one to use as a way to measure, really. Thank you. That really is the most important, you know, where are we going spiritually? Anybody else? What is it that you use to measure how you're going to make a choice in your life? Yes? Honesty, integrity, and sharing. Thank you. That is really incredibly important. Anybody else? Yes?
For me, the essence is transforming from materiality into a higher dimension.
Exactly. Thank you. That's very well said. Yes?
More like my philosophy, my point of view, but I think it's not going to jive with my perception of reality.
Exactly. Anybody else? Okay, so yes.
My comfort zone.
What do you mean?
Feeling comfortable.
Feeling comfortable. Okay. Does our comfort zone ever hold us back from moving forward? You know, when I was writing this book, I can't tell you how many times I decided I wasn't gonna continue. I really didn't think that I had the right to be big enough, to be greater, to let this come out. I cannot tell you, but you know, I had more waking dreams. Waking dreams are the way life speaks to us when we're out in our life. It's telling us messages. There was one day I was sitting there and I'd had some real difficulties with the book. I'd actually lost all my files and I had to type back in my entire book into the computer. I hadn't learned how to save to my disks yet. This was quite a while ago. So I was sitting there and I thought, well, maybe God's trying to tell me not to proceed. And then the phone rang and it was a guy saying, is this the comfort zone? Is this the comfort zone? And I went, you know, no, it's not. But I hung up and I knew that this was telling me, I was creating this event. I was sort of creating, sabotaging myself from moving ahead. And so I had a number of experiences that, you know, when I would ask, I always got the answer. One day I was at home, it was quite a long time after that, and I was really having doubts, and I sat there and I said to God, I said, do you really want me to write this book? And the phone rang, and it was a woman, and she said, hi, is Donna there? And Donna's the name of my sister. I happened to be staying at my mother's at the time. And I said, I'm sorry, Donna hasn't lived here for a long time. And she said, well, I'm just calling to tell her that she has to submit the cover for her book. I'm with such and such publisher. So it was this kind of thing that would happen to me all along. It was, you have to keep going. You have to keep on track. And those are the things that I cherish about how Spirit works with us. It's such a miracle if we're awake and aware that it's going to, you know, it's going to use us. It's going to use us. Sometimes there'll be a particular theme that will start to work its way through our life at a certain point. You know, we can't move forward, for instance, if we're holding grudges. Thank you. We can't move forward if we're holding, you know, grudges against people in the past. I don't know how many of you know people who say, well, you know, when I was a child, I had a lot of abuse. My parents abused me. My father abused me. I was poor. blah, 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 blah. But that's fine, you know, for about 5 minutes. You know, do your process, do your healing. It might take you a few years to do that, but when you're 55 and you've been processing for 20 years and you're still telling that story and you haven't done anything about it, I think there's a problem. You know, there's no excuse to hold your parents accountable if you're not moving ahead with your goals spiritually. You know, yeah, we do have to clean up our act and we do have to do our healing, but, you know, we chose our parents in advance. So how can we really blame them? We chose our parents. You know, my father really was very severely into discipline, extremely into discipline. I mean, heavy strapping, the whole thing. And, you know, for a lot of years, I felt like a victim of that. I felt like I had really had a tough time, and I had. But it was when I became a more spiritually minded person that I asked to know, you know, why did I come into that? Why did I attract that? And I was shown a dream where I was a teacher in Ireland. And I was a beanstalk. I was a tall, severe woman who took the strap and used it all the time to discipline those children. And so I only attracted what I had given out. So how can I really hold that against my father? You know what I'm saying? So, and interestingly enough, I met a friend later on who had been very inquisitive as to where he had known me. And he had a dream where in the dream he was walking towards a schoolhouse in Ireland and I walked out the front door and he said, and you were this tall, lanky beanstalk woman. So I had proof of that about 2 years later from this person. Well, I'm going to start winding this up now, so I'm going to open it up for questions to you. Do you want to ask some questions or maybe you have comments yourself about things that have helped you to wake up spiritually? Yes. Yes, that's a very good point. I do have a guide that I work with. Actually, he has a name, and he comes to me in my dreams and helps me and has helped me for many years to learn and bypass difficulties.
Are you talking with that guide?
Yes, I see him in my dreams, and I get taken to places, temples to learn and study in my dreams, yes. He's part of a spiritual path called Ekankar, and his name is Wazi, and he is a teacher that helps people with their dreams and their spiritual purpose, yeah. Anybody else? Yes?
How do you connect with your guides?
I look for them on the inner, you know, I do my Hue song, I sing that song and other spiritual words. You can sing other words that, you know, have a lot of power to help you expand your consciousness, but I can't think of many other words that have that kind of power that the Hue has. As I said, it's been in all teachings throughout time, and it's actually the word that God spoke, that first word that is behind every sound. If you listen later on, you know, you might hear the rain coming down or the sound of, you can hear in the room right now, there's like a humming. That's the way the Hue sounds. You can hear it in your inner ear. You can hear the sound inside of yourself. We are all made of sound and light. So that's, I tune into that. You put your attention here on your spiritual eye and you can have journeys and go to places and learn and find out who you are and why you're here. Anybody else?
How is it different from Om?
Om is more on the mental plane. There's different sounds depending on as you progress up through the different planes of consciousness. The physical plane has a sound, the astral plane, the causal, the mental, soul plane, and all the way up all have different vibrations. And as you sing, just, you know, like when you dial numbers, that's ringing you into a certain person's. Well, when you sing a sound, it's taking you to that plane of consciousness. Each one of those sounds vibrates, just like colors do, to a certain state of consciousness. Well, Hue is just a higher plane. It's above the mind plane, yeah. Yes?
I have a couple of questions. Where do you think we are, or what are we before we are in
the flat? We are soul, and we just continually are finding new ways to experience ourselves. Some of the time we live in these higher planes between lives, but we often will, as soul, we work to study between lives, to plan our lives and make sure that our lives are following along with our own spiritual destiny. So we plan our lives in advance, and there's soul groups that we work with. And you know, if you have a particular guide like I do, you would probably meet with that guide, and he would take you to where you have to go to learn. Yes. You could ask for that particular guide to come, Wazi, and to, you know, perhaps see if that will work for you. I get a lot of stories at Chicken Soup just like this about people who have seen their parents and their children, whoever's passed on. This is so common. I just couldn't believe how, I get a story like that once a week. And, you know, don't worry about it. Your father is doing fine. He's just doing fine. And if you want to see him, you can ask to see him. Just two more questions, yes?
I heard this before that we pick our parents.
Right.
I really don't know how do we pick our parents?
Well, just as, again, as you know, we are not the people that we are here. Between lives, we are soul, and we have a different awareness. And we work with other guides, depending on our state of consciousness, to plan our lives and to pick certain parents who will help us to grow in a certain particular fashion, depending on what it is that we need. And if we have some karma to work out, you know, we might have had some abuse against that other soul, and we might just have to come back just to pay our debt in some cases, you know, before we can actually get really on the spiritual path. Okay, somebody else?
Yeah. My question was, is using an alarm clock a detriment?
I don't use one. That was one of my highest values, was freedom, and so fortunately I don't have to get up with an alarm clock in the morning. Yeah. It can be tricky. It can be tricky when you wake up with an alarm, and but it shouldn't deter you from remembering. As I said, if you can just lay there for a few minutes, it should come back in. Maybe you can try a softer alarm clock. I don't know if you're the kind of person that needs to be like triple alarm clocks or whatever, you know. My daughter's like that. But yeah, it's really a training. You're training your dream muscles so that, you know, you want to remember. And of course with me, because I've done it for so long, it just usually comes back. But you can lay there and let it come back to you. Or just write the feeling that you have. Just write the feeling. And then you'll find it's going to come back. During the day you'll go walking down the street and, oh, I had that dream. Maybe you want to keep a notepad with you. Yeah?
One thing that I do is I tell Spirit to wake me up. And I usually give Spirit a 10 or 15 minute.
I used to do that same thing and just have Spirit wake me up. And it will wake you up. Okay, one last question.
Just give me a 30-second differentiation between spirit and soul.
No, I didn't. Well, soul is who we are, and I did give a little exercise where we were walking down the beach.
Yeah.
Soul is the unit of consciousness that we are individually.
Okay.
We are the soul, an individual spark of God. Spirit is the force that is basically operating this entire universe, and it's what everything is made of. It's where our guidance comes from. It teaches us. It speaks through all of life. It is really the voice of God, the energy of God, Spirit. And we are soul, a spark of God, individual unit of consciousness. Well, consciousness is a whole other thing. We are an individual spark, a being, a consciousness that is individualized and is seeking to get back to God, you know. It's really a huge topic, but that's the best I can do. I'm going to head upstairs. If you'd like to come up and have a book signed, I'm going to be at the Eternal Moments bookstore. Thank you all.